So 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. The Word of God says, "Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you." Chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy and envy, and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." Amen. So the English word habit comes straight into the English from the Latin word habitus, and the word means condition or character. Condition or character. The word habit has come to mean, therefore, the condition and the character of your life exhibited by a behavior pattern acquired by fervent replication, repetition, or performance. A habit is that which shows your character and your conduct by a consistent behavior pattern that you repeat over and over again. Many, many years ago, Aristotle said, "We are what we repeatedly do." We are what we repeatedly do. In other words, habits can define who we are and what we do. These are patterns of our behavior. There are routines. There are oft-repeated actions that we do all the time. For example, how you get dressed in the morning, you're going to have certain habits. Which shoe do you put on first? Which sock do you always put on first? How do you brush your teeth? You tend to do it the same way by habit. Or maybe the way you eat. We had one of our children who had an interesting habit in eating. I think he still does it. Is that he takes his different parts of his food and he eats all that part first. So it's peas. You eat those first. Then you go to the applesauce. Then you go to the meat later on. So he kind of has that pattern, that habit of how he eats his food. Or what about the route you take to school or to work? How much of that is a habit? For the last 16 plus years, I have driven the same way to church. I go down Edna, I turn right on Cloverdale, I turn left on McMillan, I repeat it on the way home. I've done that for 16 years. The last 2 weeks, they tore up Cloverdale. And I cannot tell you how many times I've started the route and then said, "Oh, shoot, it's closed." Turn around and go back the other way. It is a deeply ingrained habit to drive to work. In fact, interesting enough, in 2014, Duke University found that more than 40% of the actions people take every day are not decisions. They are our habits. We do them so often without even hardly thinking about them. Again, when you drive someplace, you always drive to. And how many times have you gotten there and said, "How did I get here?" Right? You don't remember because it's a habit that you've done over and over again. So we admit this morning that our conduct and our character can be exhibited by behavioral patterns that we call habits. And what we often do with those habits is we divide them into what are good habits and what are bad habits, right? Too many chocolate chip cookies, bad habit. Helping your wife often to do the dishes, good habit. Now, what does this have to do with our study on discipleship? Our theme is moving toward maturity, by becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And here's the connection. I want us to look at today and in the weeks ahead, what I call healthy spiritual habits, healthy patterns of behavior that I believe move us toward maturity as Christians. These are characteristics that we can develop as good habits that help us become more fully devoted followers of Jesus. We're going to look at several of these in the next few weeks. And today I want to start with the healthy spiritual habit of being in the Bible. The healthy spiritual habit of being in the Bible. And by that I mean having the healthy spiritual habit or characteristic of our lives where we are studying, knowing, absorbing, and following Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God. And I want to do so today by looking at some verses here in this marvelous book of 1 Peter as he talks about that habit, I believe, of being in the Word of God. Now, first of all, keep in mind when you look at the book of 1 Peter that Peter was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was a devoted follower of Jesus. So when he writes this letter, remember, he is someone himself who is moving toward maturity. He understands what does it take to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Peter is writing, by the way, to people just like us. They're Christians who need help in their Christian life. According to chapter 1, verse 1, he's writing to some very specific Christians in what is now modern-day Turkey or Asia Minor. I believe he's writing here not to immature believers, because he's probably writing at least 30 years after Jesus' death and at least 30 years after Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and established the church. And many of the people mentioned in this area, some of them were there in Jerusalem at Pentecost, so they've gone home. So it's possible they've been Christians for a long time. But he writes to them because they're facing persecution and suffering, something that Peter himself is seeing happen in Rome as he probably writes this letter from there around 64 AD under Nero. So he's writing to people who need encouragement, they need teaching about truth, and they need encouragement in their faith. He's helping them move toward maturity. And he starts in chapter 1 with reminding them of their wonderful salvation in Christ. I just can't let this pass. So let's go back to chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to what he says there. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter begins with a great panorama of the fact that we have been saved through Jesus Christ our Lord, resurrected from the dead. But from that salvation, he also talks about sanctification. Sanctification is a word that simply means to be set apart. Later on, Peter refers to it as holiness. In other words, out of our salvation, we are called to lead lives by the Holy Spirit power to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked that we looked at in 1 John last week. So we're to out of salvation, live our lives for Christ. Part of that, again, is sanctification. But in that process of sanctification, Peter points out something here that he says is so important if you're going to move toward maturity. And that is developing the healthy spiritual habit of being in the Bible. The habit of knowing, absorbing, studying, and following what the Bible says. So I want to examine this morning, what does Peter say about being in the Bible? And here's some of the reasons, I think, why we should be in the Bible. That's the first point. Why should we be in the Bible, studying it so much? Now again, Peter shares here what happens to us when we become believers. Back up in verses 18 and 19, again he says, "You've been redeemed, not with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but you have been saved with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." He never wanders far from the truth that what anchors our faith is our salvation in Jesus. But he mingles being saved in Jesus along with what it does in our lives. And so in verse 22, he says, "Because you are saved, you should have a sincere love of the brethren." That is an oft-repeated theme of Scripture, the New Testament. You should love one another. Notice he says fervently, not just a little bit, but straining for it, to love one another. That's sanctification. That's being more like Jesus. But then in verse 23, he jumps back to salvation again when he says in verse 23 that we have been born again. That is a phrase that he heard Jesus say to Nicodemus, the religious leader, in John chapter 3, when Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He's also mentioned it in verse 3. So he says, you've been born again. But notice what he says in verse 23, how you were born again. He says, not of seed, verse 23, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. Now notice the supremacy and the significance of the word of God, not only spoken to them in the gospel, but also the written word in the Bible. He says to them, this word of God has led you to salvation. You heard the gospel, but it's also now been codified in the scriptures, including what Peter himself is writing here in 1 Peter. Peter says later on in his second letter that no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit of God spoke directly from God. They were getting their message from God. Peter knows that this word that he's giving to them is the living word of God. And that word of God is to be shared with people. In James 1:18, it says, in the exercise of his will, God brought us forth by the word of truth. The word of truth caused you to be born again. So here's the first reason why we should be in the Bible as a spiritual habit. We should be in the Bible because it brings spiritual life. This book brings us salvation. As you and I share the gospel of God, the Holy Spirit takes the word to bring people to salvation. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and listen, hearing by the word of Christ. It comes from hearing the word. The theologian Wayne Grudem said, ultimately, it is neither our arguments nor our life example that will bring life to a new believer or unto an unbeliever, but the powerful words of God himself, words which we still have preserved today in Scripture. The word gives spiritual life. Beloved, never underestimate the power of God's word to penetrate people's hearts for Jesus. Don't underestimate it. In Isaiah chapter 55:10, God says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. The word of God affects people's lives. The great devotional writer Oswald Chambers said, if we understood what happens when we use the word of God, we would use it oftener. If we understood how that word changes people's lives. So the first reason why we should be in the Bible is because it brings us spiritual life. The second reason why we should be in the Bible as a healthy spiritual habit is because it's the living word of God to us. It is the living word of God to us. The Bible is not some dead historical book, but it is still God speaking today to us. I love what we quoted earlier, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of our soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. It's alive. I love what Martin Luther said one time. The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. It's a vivid way to picture the Word of God in our lives. Why is it a healthy spiritual habit to be in the Bible? Is because it is living truth to tell us how to live in truth. It is living truth to tell us how to live in truth. The Bible speaks to us today. It tells us about God and Jesus. It teaches us everything pertaining to life and godliness. The Bible is able to turn us from sin. Psalm 119, 9 and 11 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." The Bible teaches wisdom, discernment, guidelines on how to treat other people. The familiar Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It tells us what Jesus is doing and how we can mature in Jesus. In other words, the Bible comes to us as a blueprint of how we should live our lives, how we should build our lives. There are three words that strike terror in my heart. They are the words, "some assembly required." Okay? Nothing scares me more than to get something in a box that says, "some assembly required." I am terrible at that. And what makes it what makes it bad is that I don't like to read the instructions. I'm like impatient, so I put the instructions away, I don't know how I'm doing it, and I mess everything up. It's complicated. I have discovered over time, and Janelle's helped, instructions and blueprints are important. Many years ago, the remarkable G.K. Chesterton was asked, "If you had one book only that you could have to take along if you were stranded on a desert island, only one book that you could have, what book would you want?" And he replied, "Why, A Practical Guide to Shipbuilding, of course." Amen. Having the practical guide of life is Scripture. It's living, and it teaches us. We study this Word of God because it impacts our lives. It convicts us. It teaches us. It challenges us. It changes us. It is the living Word of God. Francis Chan, in his book Multiply, says, "If we really believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then it should be much more than a book that we are familiar with. It ought to shape every aspect of our existence. It should guide the decisions we make in life. If God is the designer and creator of this world, if He made us and placed us on this earth, and if He has taken the time to tell us who He is, who we are, and how this world operates, then what could be more important than the Bible?" We need the living Word of God. That's why we study it. The third reason why we should be in the Bible is verse 23, because it's enduring. It is enduring. The word enduring here is most often translated abiding or to remain. So it is a book that remains. It's a book that abides with us. It is perpetual and permanent. Peter emphasizes that by saying in verse 23 that it is like seed that is imperishable. And you wonder if Peter, because he heard Jesus teach, I wonder if he's remembering Luke chapter 8, remember the parable of the soils that talks about the seed being the word of God? I think it's what he's thinking about. He said the seed, the word of God, is imperishable. Then he quotes Isaiah 40 verse 6, and he says, you know, grass will wither. The flowers that you got for Valentine's Day, I'm sorry to say, will die. But he says in verse 25, the word of the Lord endures, it abides, it remains forever. Why? Because God Himself remains forever. He said that word was preached to you, that's what changed you, and it will not ever fade away. And so we have the spiritual habit of being in the Bible because it is the source of salvation. It's the teacher, leader, guide, guard, director of our lives forever. God is speaking to us, which leads to the second part of this healthy habit. Here's the reasons why we should be in the Bible, but the second main point is our desire to be in the Bible. If this is what the Bible can do in your life, our desire should be to be in the Bible. In chapter 2, verse 1, again, Peter turns to the effect of what the Bible has on us. He says it changes us to put aside malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy, and there's that sanctification again. But then Peter turns to the undergirding foundation of living a life like that when he returns back to the Bible in verse 2. He talks about the desire to be in the Bible and longing for it as a good habit. Again, Peter is talking here about studying, knowing, absorbing, and following the Scriptures. And in verse 2, he says, we are to long for the pure milk of the Word. Verse 2, to long for it. Now, that phrase long for is one word in the Greek. It means to yearn for, or as the New International says, to crave or to desire strongly. To crave intensely, to desire, or to yearn for this thing. Now, Paul uses this word about 7 times, and in every instance, he expresses an intense, recurring, and insatiable desire. It means things like the strong desire of a husband or wife for their spouse. It's used to refer to the strong physical craving you have when you're extremely hungry. It is poignant longing for a deceased loved one. It's used for an intense desire of a Christian parent for a child that has wandered away from the faith. It's used of a strong desire of believers wanting salvation for those who are unbelieving around them. It's a word of intensity. It's a strong desire. And then he uses the metaphor here to describe it. He says we should long for this word of God like a newborn baby longing for milk. Verse 2. A newborn baby longing for milk. Now, without being crass here, there are 2 things I have noticed about nursing babies. One is their eagerness to drink. Oh, how eager they are. The other is the frequency of wanting to drink. As one mom said, it can feel like a 24-hour gas station, okay? Peter said, that's how you should long for the Word of God, with that kind of eagerness and that kind of frequency. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Job 23:12 says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Notice he tells us to eagerly and frequently want that Word of God, and he calls it here in verse 2, the pure milk of the Word. Pure means unadulterated or untainted. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. When you long for the Word of God, you're not looking for something watered down or changed by somebody. You want to know, what does it say? I may not understand it completely. I may not comprehend everything about it. I may not even not be troubled by it. But it's the Word purely of God. And he adds here in verse 2 that this healthy spiritual habit of being in the Bible will make you grow, verse 2, that you will grow in respect to salvation, not in respect to being saved, but as a product of your salvation to be sanctified. And the verb is passive there, so it indicates that it may grow you. In other words, the Word of God is what will help you grow as a believer. Then he adds in verse 3, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And the word if there can be translated since. And I like that better because it really reads then, since you have tasted the kindness of God in salvation, since he blesses your life, going to the Word of God will give you more kindness. Going to the Word of God will teach you more about your kind God. So putting these points together, we have the healthy spiritual habit of being in the Bible to move us toward maturity in Christ because we are hearing and believing and obeying God's Word out of a strong desire to be fed by His Word. Which leads to this last point I want to make this morning. If we're going to develop healthy spiritual habits of being in the Bible, it's not just knowing why we study the Bible. It's not even just our desire. It also comes down to, thirdly, how. How can we develop this healthy spiritual habit? How can we develop this healthy spiritual habit? Let me suggest 5 things. First is to have this healthy spiritual habit is strive to understand how much we need this feeding. To strive to understand how much we need this feeding of the Word. Babies die without their milk. We stunt our spiritual growth whenever we ignore God's word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Understand, we need this word. The second way we can develop a healthy spiritual habit of being in the Bible is to sincerely pray for the desire. To sincerely pray, God, give me the desire for your word. Pray that the hunger for God's word will increase in your life. Pray that your motivation is not because you're guilty and people tell you you must study the Bible. That doesn't last. Pray that your motivation is not just to look spiritual with other people. Pray that your motivation is not because somebody said to teach a Bible study and you got to study something, or because you have to be at a growth group leaders meeting. As a pastor, I have to always warn myself, I don't study Scripture just for sermons. Study Scripture to know that God is speaking to us. Our motivation to engage with God in our lives is to sincerely pray, God, give me a greater desire. Thirdly, we can develop healthy spiritual habits of being a Christian and following the Word of God and being in the Bible. Thirdly, as we stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. I've been a pastor a long time. I have heard pretty much every excuse for not reading the Bible. People say, I don't like to read anything. I don't have time to read the Bible. It is boring. I don't understand it. I'm not good at memorizing it. The dog ate my Bible. Actually, I haven't heard that one, but it's probably out there. The fact is that we are just making excuses, and ultimately they are very lame. Let me be bold here this morning and speak to my sex, men. Men, we are the worst compared to women in being in the Bible. Over the years, I've had ad hoc surveys of men and women to ask them, how much time do you spend in the Word? And I have been shocked how little time men who have known Jesus for a long time, how little time we are spending in the Word of God, if at all. Part of manning up spiritually is to quit making excuses. Men, our wives, the women of our church, the single women, desperately want us to be men of the book. It's time to lay down our excuses, confess them, and believe God, He can put a desire in your heart to be in His Word. And then fourthly, how do we develop this spiritual habit to be in the Bible? It is to start with small steps. Start with small steps. You know, with any good habit, you need to start with small steps. If you have not been spending time in being in the Bible, don't just say, okay, today I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. I'm going to read Genesis. All of it. Today. Not going to happen. You start somewhere and you go slowly. Maybe you start with a devotional reading in the Daily Bread, or get an app on your phone. There's no lack of opportunities to see and hear the Word of God. Maybe read a proverb or two. I have a friend who goes through Proverbs because there's 31 of them, and that's one a day. So you could just read the book of Proverbs, a chapter a day in Proverbs, or maybe just a few, or just take small chunks with prayer. Anything at all is better than nothing. As someone once wisely said, take all your good intentions and do something with them. To start somewhere with small steps. And then finally, the way we can develop a healthy spiritual habit of being in the Word, in the Bible, is to stay steady. Stay steady. Pastor John Ortberg said it well when he said, habits eat willpower for lunch, don't they? Habits eat willpower for lunch. Now, he's not saying that willpower is not important in the Christian life, empowered by God the Holy Spirit to mold us to doing his will. But let me tell you this. If you just try to go on willpower alone, you will fail. Can you say the word diet, right? How many times have our diets failed? We've had great willpower. And then we saw the chocolate chip cookie. Because we do not have a habit or pattern of doing something over time that's ingrained in us. The point is, it will not happen without willpower and a healthy habit. Social scientists tell us that a habit takes about 3 weeks to develop until you get a pattern. Think about exercising. There was a long time that I did not exercise. And finally, somebody said, Greg, you need to schedule it on your calendar so that after work, you know when you're going to go and exercise. And so for many years now, I have been doing that. It may not show, but I've been trying to schedule it into my habits of life. And it helps. To be in the Bible as a healthy spiritual habit means you got to schedule it. It may be in the morning for you. It may be during your midday break at work. It may be in the evening or as you go to bed at night. But sometime during the day, in a little bit of time, in the regular set-aside way, start somewhere. And granted, you may not feel like it. In fact, many times you won't feel like it. But as many things in life that are worth it, it's not feelings. It's actually obedience. I may not feel like it. But I'll tell you this much, if you start with a little bit, God will honor your commitment. He will. So stay steady. Interesting that the word habit is related to the word habitat, right? Habitat is where you live. So our habits show our habitat. What we do shows where and how we are living. And what we want is a habitat to be living in the living Word of God. And to have that be our habitat, we must develop the healthy spiritual habit of being in the Bible. To study God's Word, know God's Word, absorb God's Word in some fashion, and follow God's Word. God's given us His Word. Be in the Bible to move us towards spiritual maturity by the grace of God. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much that the Word of God speaks, falls down like rain, washing our eyes to see your holiness in our lives before you. God, I pray for our many failures to be in the Word. But Lord, thank you that you are patient and gracious and kind, and that every day is a new opportunity to begin again and again and again. And so God, I thank you that this is not a message to beat us up with, but to encourage us, to remind us of the invitation to long for this Word that indeed changes everything. God, would you speak to us in wonderful ways today? Encourage your family, your faith in the family of God, that we might be more of those who love being in your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.